Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm joined on the podcast today by Stephen Arion, author of the novel The Judas Blossom, Book One of The Nightingale and the Falcon. Grimdark magazine wrote about the novel, "The Judas Blossom is an ambitious, majestic, and brutal historical fantasy read that impresses throughout. The novel skillfully covers an era, areas, and cultures that are not typical with fantasy novels or historical retellings, with excellent action scenes, sieges, confrontations, barbed verbal exchanges, political intrigue, deception, and cleverness. A riveting tale set in a dynamic world that is equally beautiful and terrifying." Stephen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Well, if someone hasn't yet heard about your novel, The Judas Blossom, how would you describe the novel?
Sure. Okay. So it's historical fantasy, and it's set in 13th century Persia. And during this era of history, the Mongol Empire was growing across the whole world. They're essentially trying to create one empire that spanned everything in the known world. And in the period that the story is set, the grandsons of Genghis Khan each rule one of the four areas or khanates, and one of them covers a portion of the Middle East as we know it today that includes Persia being the main sort of part of it. And my story focuses on a rebellion about the local people and some others who have essentially been invaded by the Mongols. They lost the war, their army is broken, but they haven't given up the fight, and it's about them attempting to find a way to destroy the invaders, essentially, and bring freedom back to their country.
And I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to writing The Judas Blossom?
Probably it was a collection of different things. I wanted to do something very, very different to all of my previous novels. I had been reading some books about the Mongols in that period. I'd watched the Netflix TV show Marco Polo, which is set in a similar era but a different part of the world. I wanted to lean into my Persian culture and heritage. And so all of these things were kind of in the background of my mind over the last probably 3 or 4 years. And then I started doing some deeper diving into this particular period and realized how extremely complicated it was. And that if I was going to tell a story about this era, I would have to take some liberties in order to make it a cohesive narrative that could be enjoyable for people who are not just historians, that events would flow in a slightly different way. So it was never going to be a pure historical retelling. That would just be very, very difficult and require years of research as opposed to the few months that I did.
Well, on that note, I mean, as you said, it is a historical fantasy. What kind of research did you do prior to writing the novel?
So I've got a stack of books on my shelf that you can see that talk about Mongol culture, the army, some of the great campaigns, and some of the major events that happened during this period. So all of the main events in the book are historically accurate in terms of what happened. But who was there and when it happened, I've had to move around because sometimes the wars could go on for several years. And unless I have the story suddenly skip, you know, 2 years and then they say, oh, now the war's ended. And then the story continues. It wasn't ever going to work, you know, in that way. So I had to kind of look at history, look at how to weave a story between the raindrops, as it were, and then how to add my own stuff on top and integrate it into a way so that it feels organic and have some kind of fantastical stuff in there as well. So this isn't over fantasy. Like if you've read, I think it's Pierre Perval has done The French Revolution, but with dragons. And you know that immediately from the front cover, there's a knight on dragon, you know, on a dragon's back. So you know exactly what you're getting. This is more a case of it's closer to history than fantasy, but there's some stuff in there that's a little bit out there. There's a hint of magic, I guess. It's not the overriding theme or the main part of the story, but it is there as an element of it.
So can you tell us about your original writing journey that led you to writing and getting your first novel published?
Oh, yeah. How long have you got? I did it the hard way. I did it the long way. There's a really long blog post on my website that explains it in more detail. But very, very briefly, I started submitting novels in my 20s. And I wrote a number of novels and was rejected. I did another one over and over and over again. You know, I'd write the book, edit it, get friends to read it, edit it again, send it out to full list of agents, get rejected by every single one, have a little break and start a new novel. So I started submitting books in about 2000, 2001. And I got an expression of interest from an agent in 2013. I met with the agent, we talked, and she took me on as a client. And my debut novel, Battle Mage, came out in 2015 with Orbit. So yeah, over, you know, 10, 12 years of writing novels and attempting to get somewhere before I was successful.
Well, what can you remember? What was it that initially kind of prompted you to sit down and start working on your first novel? Had you been someone who always written stories as a kid, or what made you kind of sit down that very first time and start on page one?
Yeah, I was definitely a person that liked to write stories as a kid. I've always been reading books, and I've always been reading fantasy stories and folklore and mythology. So it was kind of natural if I was going to write a story, it was going to be somewhere in that space because it's what I loved then and I still love now. So I was writing stories all the time as a kid. And as part of my school project in kind of college, so senior high school, I guess, for America, it was, you had to write something creative. And I wrote the first chapter of what would become a fantasy novel. As it turned out, I did finish the novel. I never submitted it because it was awful. But that was, it goes back to when I was 19, I first started writing my first fantasy novel.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, I did read that article on your website, and yeah. You just mentioned the kind of 13-year process from 2000 until you started submitting the book that eventually became your first published novel.
Yeah.
What do you think that you were learning during those 13 years, just from a writing perspective?
It's a good question. I think patience was one of them. I think I've learned that there's some things you can't control, and you just have to do the best that you can and hope. Luck plays a big part in whether your book is picked up or not. Timing is another one. But in terms of my actual ability, the more you do anything, the better you get at it. And that first novel was terrible, and I'm glad I didn't send it in to agents. But in the process of doing it, I learned something about characters, world building, dialogue, and you know, when I looked back at it, maybe 6 months or a year after it, I would wince even then, thinking, yeah, that's not good. So it was just improving my skill, my craft, I guess, how to do the thing that I wanted to do, how to do it clearly, how to make characters feel more like real people and less like extensions of me. Because early novels, friends would read the books and they'd say, oh, that character feels very much like you. That character feels like so-and-so was a friend of ours. And you write what you know to begin with, I think. And I was writing the people that I knew in some way or another. So I think over the course of the time, I learned a lot about the industry from going to events, talking to agents, publishers, other writers, and over the course of many novels, just gradually getting better with every novel and writing what I wanted and not what I thought I should write, which is something I tried with one book and it just didn't work.
That's great. Well, what was your writing process when you were working on the Judas Blossom? Are you someone who does extensive outlining, or did you just kind of dive into the narrative once you had this kind of idea? How does that work for you?
My technique hasn't really changed on all of my novels. I tried writing by the seat of my pants once for a whole novel, starting with just a core idea, and the end result was so chaotic and was so much of a mess. I didn't even try to submit that one either because I couldn't salvage anything from it. And as you're experimenting with novels on the way to getting, you know, published, I thought I'd try it for a change, and it didn't work. So I went back to what has worked for me, which is being a planner to some degree. So I always know on all my novels, I know the beginning, the middle, and the end. I have world building in place. I have the characters in place. And I have a number of milestones along the way for most of the chapters. Not every single detail and not every single interaction, because I need to have some creative leaps in there. With the Judas Blossom, it was a little bit different because the milestones were more fixed. Normally, the events that I'm creating are just that. I've made them up. But with this, I was basing it upon certain events. And if you know the history of that period, there are certain things that happened that changed that part of the world. And so I couldn't exactly ignore them if I was trying to create a story that at least followed part of history during this era. So it was a slightly different process in that I had fixed points that I couldn't move. So I had to work out how to tell a story between or around or using these as springboards. Whereas normally, if I'm not happy with a thing, I can take it out, or I can move it, or I can just ignore it. So it was a more challenging planning process for this series than I've done for any of my others so far.
Gotcha. I'm curious, are you working on a new novel now? I know that this is a trilogy. Have you written all three novels?
I'm halfway through writing book three as we speak. So two is done. It'll be going into edit soon, and it'll be out next year in July, and book three will be July 2025. So currently working on book three, and I will finish it this year, and next year, or very late this year, I'll start writing something completely new and not connected to this trilogy.
Gotcha. Well, given your experience as we've talked about in terms of writing multiple novels, going to events, doing online writing communities, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
If it's the first novel, I would suggest that people worry about it as little as possible. I know that's very, very difficult and it's easy to say, but the key thing for anybody working on a novel is I'd always suggest you work on one novel at once. Don't try and do multiple projects, because I don't think that's good to begin with. Later down the process, if you're traditionally published and evil self-published, it becomes necessary because things overlap, even with the speed of traditional publishing, which is slow by comparison. But to begin with, focus on one novel and focus only on getting to the end of that first draft. However long it takes you to get there, however you do it, whether you set targets, whether it's so many words a day or so many words a month, whether it takes 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years to finish the novel, finish it and get it done. Because you will learn something from the process of doing it. You'll learn that by the time you get to the end of the book, you look back at what you've done. Even if you plan books like me, and you'll realize that it's a slightly different animal. You planned it and planned it and planned it, and during the course of working on it, things move, things change, character arcs will develop in a way that you hadn't necessarily anticipated. And only once you've finished it can you then step back from it all and begin the real work of editing it and making it into what you actually wanted compared to what you have written in that first draft. I think it was Terry Pratchett who said the first draft was just like a vomit draft. You just get the words down and get it done. And I agree with that, really. That's what it's all about.
Well, what novels have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Oh, I'm always reading. Let's see. What have I read recently? I'm going to have to look at my to-read pile and my read pile. I read The Boneshard Daughter by Andrea Stewart. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed By Force Alone by Lavi Tidar. That was fantastic. I've just reread Old Man's War for a book club by John Scalzi. That's really, really good again. It's been a while since I've read it, so it was nice to go back and read it again. I'm currently reading Empire of Silence by Christopher Rocchio. It's absolutely fantastic. Really, really easy to read. Slightly intimidating because it's a huge doorstopper of a book, but it's super easy to read. Very, very good prose, very clean, very exciting story from the beginning. So yeah, I'm digging into that and really enjoying it.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your novels?
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram. There's my website. That's a good place to find out what's going on with news and events. And also I have a YouTube channel that I do writing advice on, and I interview other authors talking about their journey to getting published, whether it's self-published or traditional, and how they got there, because everyone's story, as you know, I'm sure, is slightly different. So it's interesting to hear those stories about what happened and how they got there and how they progressed from the start of their journey to being published in whatever form that takes.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking to Stephen Arion, author of the novel The Judas Blossom, book one of The Nightingale and the Falcon. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Stephen, thanks for doing this interview.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.